You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Right, we've got some high-quality action to come across the course of the weekends. On Sunday, the John Durkin coming up from Punchestown, but we're going to focus on Saturday's action, racing at Aintree and Sandown, amongst others. Ross Briley joins me, Alex Dunn here, to discuss the pick of it. Where do you want to start, Ross?
Where do you want to start, Alex? You direct me. I'll throw opinions in your face.
All right, I'd like to look at the Beecher Chase. Please.
Would you?
Yes.
Crikey O'Reilly.
The most difficult one first.
Thanks, mate.
The 1:30 tomorrow over the national fences, because I'm convinced that Black Lion is a knocking bet at the price.
Okay.
We know that Black Lion loves the fences. We know that Black Lion doesn't stay the national trip. But 9-2 with 5 places on offer here at William Hill, I think you're not going to do much damage on that. It is a 50 odds, so you wouldn't actually be making a profit with your each-way bet, but I just think that bit of insurance is makes it a very, very safe bet. He's a horse that I absolutely love.
OK. Yeah, I mean, I can certainly see that. He, as you said, he rarely runs a bad race, does he? I mean, his season ended rather frustratingly for Connections, obviously, given the fact that he was brought down right at the start of the Grand National, and then he looked like he'd had enough at Sandown. But given Connections, you know, he'll be fit and well and fresh and ready to go. First time of asking. So, yeah, I can certainly see your enthusiasm for him. I prefer the claims of Present Man personally. Okay. I thought he was very interesting. He's probably a little bit underrated, I feel, Present Man.
Won the Badger Ales last time.
He did. Which is, you know, a race he very much likes. He won that in 2017 as well. Given his run style, he's often very prominent. He jumps like a stag. And he loves these big field handicap chasers. I think he should, in theory, relish this test. He hasn't had too much experience on heavy ground, but you know, he's won on pretty testing conditions, and I think Bryony Foss is going to get into a lovely rhythm. Hopefully, okay. Sat on the heel. So, yeah, I still think he's got. He's 8 years old. He's about right to peak, and I think he could be interested in receiving half a stone off Black Lion.
8-1 as we speak. Black Lion 9-2, 11-2 for Bally Optic. Present Man 8-1, 9s for Don Polly. Ultra Gold is 9s as well, so is Cross Hue Boy. 10s for Vieux Leon Rouge, and 12s and bigger the remainder. I'm delighted to say that Damien Ainsworth has also joined us from upstairs, from the trading room.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Hello. Fine, thank you.
Ross, Damien, have you met before?
I don't think we have.
How are you doing, Ross?
Shake my hand.
Look at that.
Nice to meet you.
Look at that.
Bringing people together, Alex.
Exactly.
That's what you're doing.
Exactly. Well,
I don't want to instantly fall out with you, but I don't like Present Man.
Right, that's it. I give up. I'm going home.
Where's the money been?
The money for the Beecher Chase, we've been betting on it for some time. Anti-post, the early money was for Black Lion, 10-1. So as you can see, that's now 9-2, so some value there. We also laid Mr. Approach, that was more recently yesterday, 16s into 10s, now out to 12s. Mm-hmm. It's been some shrewd money around at big prices for Cross Who Boy, the Irish
into 9-1 now from 12s.
And 20s in the week.
Okay.
So that's an interesting move. I think people like the form against Dingo Dollar from Air in the spring. And I think this one's been laid out for the race. So a little bit of money for the one I liked, which was Ultra Gold, which was 11-1 yesterday. That's just been nibbled at 11s into 9s.
Okay.
So that's an idea. And Violon Rouge. I think people like the horses with experience at Aintree, so we've seen bits and pieces for Violon Rouge and Ultra Gold, the Topham winner.
What an interesting runner. Dom Polly returning from 664 days off. Be interesting to see what the market says about that one on the day.
Yes, I think that one, together with Gordon Elliott's other runner, Noble Endeavour, which is also returning from a long absence, I think is trying to get a sighter over the fences, because they both have the Grand National as their main targets for the season. And I think 160 is still a very high mark for Don Slowly, as some people used to call him, even though he hasn't run for such a long time. Still rated 160, which is a very high mark for me.
That is the Beecher Chase, then, coming up at 1:30. There's the Grand Sefton later on as well. The next race I want to discuss, if that's okay, is the Many Clouds Chase. Now, there's only the four runners in this. Definitely Red at the head of affairs, Double Shuffle second in. And the former Grand National winner, One for Arthur, hasn't been seen since winning that race in 2017, but returns to the track here. Ross, just the four of them running in the Many Clouds Chase. Is it straightforward for Definitely Red?
Probably. Again, to be honest with you, I don't have a huge opinion in the race. You said to me, you know, pick and choose your races, and now you're throwing them at me left, right and centre. Right,
and I will continue doing that.
Four-runner grade two chases where, you know, there's not many horses are on the up and there's not many horses in the top class. I'm not really my angle, so I can't wait to see what the markets have been saying. But to be fair, I thought Definitely Red, he had ideal conditions last time out at Weatherby, and he was the only one to really to jump well enough to win the race. So I'm slightly concerned that everything went to plan for him that day. But again, things are in his favour again. So it's one of those ones where I thought everything went to plan for him last time out, but there's absolutely no reason whatsoever why it won't again. So he probably will win, but it's not really a race I'll be getting involved in.
8 to 11, Definitely Red. Double Shuffle, 9 to 4. 6 to 1, 1 for Arthur. ACDC is 25s. Anything to add, Damien?
Only that Definitely Red was 9 to 4 when we first started betting on the race, so it just shows you the tremendous value you can still get with anti-post betting. Because there were, I think, 13 horses entered earlier in the week. Now there's 4. It's quite an interesting event in the sense that Double Shuffle went off at a shorter price than Definitely Red when they both ran in the Charlie Hall, and Double Shuffle fell early doors. I think people are starting to give up on Double Shuffle. He ran a tremendous race in the King George last Christmas, but it didn't look particularly solid at the time. It looks less solid now. And people are, they've kind of given up on Double Shuffle and they've gone for Definitely Red. One for Arthur is interesting, but they're going for this race instead of over the national fences. That's interesting. But you can't really look away from Definitely Red in this one.
Okay. Ross, you mentioned that race wasn't really your bag. What is your bag?
Well, there's a few horses I was quite interested in tomorrow. I thought Chica Buena was interesting in the listed juvenile race at Aintree. Giving Glances is likely to be very popular, but Chica Buena, she's had two runs for Keith Dalgleish. She looked beat at Musselburgh as they jumped the final hurdle and then quickened up really nicely. I thought won quite cosily. She bolted up on soft ground on her last start for Brendan Duke as well, so I don't think the softening of conditions are against her really either. And I thought there was a bit more to offer from her. It's a, you know, it's a 8-runner listed race where quite a few of them are going to have to improve markedly to get involved. I thought, you know, 5-1, 11-2, you know, the trader next to me, but I'd be thieving that each way all day long.
Interestingly enough, I've got a fancy in that race, not Chica Buena, unfortunately. There's 8 runners, and as you say, there's only 2 or 3 who've got form on soft ground, and it is going to be very hard to get through an entry for 3-year-old fillies tomorrow afternoon. The Giving Glances has a bit of form on soft, but not her best form, so that could drift. The one I'm interested in is Lady Camelot, who's probably the second best of these on the flat, behind Giving Glances. It's rated in the 80s, has had 2 runs on good ground over hurdles in big field events in Ireland, just mid-division, just a couple of sighters. Brought over, interesting stat is that James Bowen is 5 from 16 for the yard, the Cromwell yard. It looks like this could be a bit of a target. I wouldn't be surprised if there were plenty of money for it tomorrow. Unfortunately, I was hoping for a lot bigger than the, I think, best price around about 9 or 10 to 1 at the moment.
Well, I think given the fact that he's won this twice in the past few years, I think people have gone, oh, he's going for it again.
The wise to it now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's strange because there's another runner, Liffydale Dreamer, which finished well in front of Lady Camelot, and that's 25 to 1. So, yeah. Unfortunately, the market's wised up, but could still go off shorter if the ground's very soft tomorrow.
Okay, interesting. The 150 at Sandown tomorrow is the Henry VIII Novices Chase, and sees the return of Lawler, who is currently 4 to 1 favourite with us here at William Hill for the Arkle. So, if you think that Lawler's going to win and be impressive and you want to snap that fours up, then make sure you do. Lawler, as for tomorrow's races, 5 to 6, 4 to 1 for Dear Carly, Dynamite Dollar 7s, 8 to 1 for Highway 101, Ping Shu is 11s, and Ornua is 20 to 1. Interested, Ross, to see Lawler at the head of affairs for the Arkle, given Kalashnikov's been out twice and was very impressive last time. I suppose it's been quite impressive both times. But Lawler really did create one hell of an impression at Cheltenham.
Yeah, I think the thing with Kaylee Willacott's runner is that they're starting to come around to him. I think with Kalashnikov's been almost overhyped. He's obviously a very nice horse, but even running over hurdles, you know, he's very much a front page. Well, can't wait to see what this horse does next. Whereas, you know, Lawler's now was sent off 14 to 1 for the Aintree race and 11 to 2, fairly unconsidered. Last time out as well at Cheltenham. So, again, not particularly fashionable connections, but jumped like a stag and won very nicely indeed. No real problems with conditions either, based on its form last year. So very interesting. I fancied Dynamite Dollars at Cheltenham in that race, and I thought he was fairly put in his place really. So be interested to see what he can do at Sandown. Obviously, he's going to have a bit of a different test to what he was facing last time out. Softer ground, either way, nice, stiff fences for him, but very interesting.
Yeah. Where's the money been in this one, Damien?
There wasn't a great deal of interest in the favourite because there was some doubt about whether he would run in the race. I think connections were waiting to see where Richard Johnson was going. So consequently, we were laying Dynamite Dollars and Highway 101 earlier in the week. Punters thinking they could get a bit of value if Layla didn't turn up. Now Layla's there, he's strong at the front of the market. I like Dear Carly. I like Gary Moore horses from the front at Sandown. Dear Carly could be interesting, go off at a fair rattle, get a few in trouble, jump well, so much experience that horse. So we'll find out tomorrow if Layla is as good as he looked last time out, if Dear Carly really goes for it from the front, I think.
Okay. It'd be interesting to see how Lawler's jumping holds up against a stronger pace and a stiffer test, as Ross alluded to there. So it'll be interesting to see. That is tomorrow in the Henry VIII Novices Chase. And the 3 o'clock at Sandown is an absolutely mouth-watering clash. The Tingle Creek. Altior is 4 to 6. Underso is 4 to 1. 6 to 1 for Sir Royale. And 7 to 1 for St. Calvados. There is... there's something for everyone in this race, Ross. Just the four runners, but you probably couldn't have got...
There's no fibre sand form, is there?
No, all right. There's not something for everyone. For fans of chasing, you've got a bit of everything. You've got the established, been there, done that. You've got... well, that's under so. You've got Altior, who has been there, done most of it, and should probably do the rest. And then Sorry Alan, St. Calvados. Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the interesting thing about Altior is, often this division is there are very rarely new angles and new tests. But Altior is, you know, having to beat some different faces in the shape of Underso and Leo San Calvados, who was given a bowl ride last time. I can't believe he's only 5 years old. He must have been jumping fences as he popped out the womb. It's going to be good, run a good clip with him and Underso in there. So Royale again, So Royale's a bit like Layla in the sense of that people still can't quite work out how good he is. So, I think it's an interest. I think it's a very interesting race. Again, I didn't really have a huge angle in.
Yeah.
It was too all over the place for me, and it's a small field, even though they are going to probably go at a decent clip. But fascinating to watch. Altior, he's an odd one. I guess some horses you just get on the right side of and you follow. Some horses pass you by. And Altior is almost one of those for me.
Okay.
He's very impressed with him, but...
Yeah.
It's just, Altior's gone and done what he's done again.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see... I kind of want him to meet his match, in a way.
Yeah.
But that's just to mix it up a bit. But at the same time, other people go the other way and want a horse like this to win every race. So I think it's an interesting matchup. But again, it's not really a huge opinion for me.
Okay. Damien, it's rare that you get the opportunity to back any of the horses that aren't Altior in this race at the kind of prices that they're going to go off under. So at 4s, 6s, so Royal St. Calvados at 7s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... Earlier on in the week, people were interested in the two relatively unexposed animals, St. Calvados and Sir Royale. So we were laying St. Calvados 10s, Sir Royale 10s. There were a lot of hype about those two. But when Under Sir came into the race, I think that added an extra angle. And people have started to look at Under Sir. He's an underrated horse, but he's very, very rarely puts a foot wrong. He's got a tremendous win record, tremendous record fresh. He's so hard to fault. And the thing about St. Calvados, he went to Cheltenham and something took him on for the lead and he bombed out completely. If Undersir takes on St. Calvados, we could see the same thing happening. St. Calvados could be exposed. Undersir could then go on and Altior could have a real task in getting past him. So there's still a tiny bit of value possibly in Undersir. That's my feeling about it.
Okay, 4-1.
He's not a horse you'd really ever want to be laying heavily at 4-1, is he, Under Sir?
No, given his 12 from 18 other fences, it goes well fresh. There's so much to like about him. It's just that Altior, people say that he's probably the best horse in Press Chaser around at the moment. Mm. That's what's holding the price up.
Well, a race in prospect tomorrow. That's Tingle Creek coming up at 3 o'clock. Ross, anything else to mention?
Again, a couple of the half decent horses. I thought one at Wolverhampton tomorrow. I thought was interesting.
Go for it.
New King from John Gosden's was all the rage at Lingfield on debut. Backed into 10-11 on his first starts on the track, and then walked out of the stalls as if he had absolutely no idea what was going on.
But in the 5:45 tomorrow at Wolverhampton.
Yeah, it was running a fair old clip, though. The winner was rated 79 and made all the running in first-time blinkers, and New King just couldn't make up that ground, which is completely understandable. But he's got a lovely pedigree. He'll have a stiffer test. He's drawn out wide, which is a slight concern. But if he gets out the boxes on terms, I think New King is an interesting runner for the winter.
Okay. Damien, any more market moves from elsewhere that you want to highlight?
In the Sefton, the closing race on the Aintree card, a couple of big prices. That's a race that's cut up to 11 runners. Mm. We laid Warrior's Tail Antipost at 20s. That's into 6-1. One for me, which is very interesting, Catamaran de Searle. I don't think there's a finer trainer at placing his horses at the moment than Richard Newland, Dr. Newland. Catamaran de Searle, that was backed at 20s antipost. That's going to be disputing favouritism tomorrow. That's about 11-2 now. That could go close. In the same race, Shanahan's Turn was laid at 16s. That's into 6, so some liabilities built up there.
Mm.
And then another staying race, the London National closing race at Sandown, 3:35. Tizard, another good trainer in this kind of event, Royal Vacation, that's been laid from 5-1. Shanro Santos, another we've been laying. And the other race we haven't touched on TV, the 2:25 at Sandown. I like another Gary Moore's Erigan de Chanet. And just to close, Timotei, that could use a shower.
Okay. Lovely stuff. Ross shaking his head there. Ross, you've made worse jokes than that in your time. Right, Ross, you're departing now. Goodbye.
Bye.
Damien, thank you very much for joining us as well.
A
fairly comprehensive look at tomorrow's action then. We've got action at Sandown and Aintree through the course of the day. Promises to be an absolute cracker.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.